Welcome to the Pursuit of Bliss podcast. My name is Kristen. I'm a self-professed health, spirituality, and mindset junkie. You know that blissful happiness you feel when you're just at peace with yourself, living fully in the present moment? That's the feeling I believe we are all in the pursuit of. And I want to help you get one step closer by up-leveling your health, mindset, and love for yourself. Because that lasting and blissful happiness can only be found and created within. So get ready for all things mindset, holistic health, and spirituality. I hope this serves you. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Pursuit of Bliss podcast. Today, I have an amazing conversation for you all. So today I talked with Jessica, or as her soul name is Zaya. So she goes by Zaya Soul on Instagram. And she is an incredible Akashic Records practitioner, an energy worker, a soul coach. She's absolutely incredible. So in our conversation, we deep dive into what are the Akashic Records? What does that mean? We talk about getting in touch with your highest self. We talk about spirit guides. We talk about past lives. We talk about different kinds of readings and modalities and energy healing and how all of this works together for our own souls to evolve. We talk about life purpose. We talk about incarnation. So many topics here that I'm so excited for you all to listen to because it was an amazing conversation. And then Zaya gives me a live Akashic Records reading, which is recorded for the podcast. So she actually opened the records of my own soul, and we went into the records, and she answered some of my questions. We talked about a past life of mine, which is affecting my current life. And then at the very end of the episode, we talk about a giveaway that Zaya is generously offering to listeners of the Pursuit of Bliss podcast. So listen to the episode until the very end to learn how you can win a free Akashic Record reading with Zaya, and you're going to want to do this. She is absolutely incredible. I was blown away by the reading she gave me. It was insane. I can't wait for y'all to hear it. So here she is. Welcome, Jessica, to the Pursuit of Bliss podcast. I am so happy that you're here. So thank you so much.
I'm happy to be here.
And I just want to get right into it. If you want to maybe share a little bit about who you are and what you do and what you're passionate about.
Absolutely. I am an intuitive healer and a soul coach. So I've been an intuitive my whole life, and I suppressed my gifts for a very long time. I had a kind of traumatic experience when I was little and didn't understand, didn't know what was going on, and just kind of shut it all down. So in my 20s, everything bust open. It was like, we can't keep this in any longer. As much as I tried to hide it, it was just very cosmically guided. And I've turned kind of a natural abilities into a skill set. And I offer healing sessions. I offer soul readings. I do work within the Akashic Records. I know we're going to talk about that today. And I do a lot of intuitive development. So a lot of the people who find me are kind of in the middle of their awakening, mm-hmm. or experiencing the dark night of the soul, where like everything is crumbling, you're questioning everything, and all of your old like ego identities and structures that you've built that keep you feeling safe and in control of your life just begin to crumble, and you're like, what's happening? And so there's a lot of, you know, aligning with your soul and kind of learning about the different facets of yourself, the multidimensional self, and learning how to tune in to your intuition, how to develop your skill set, and how to go through the layers of healing to fully step into your soul's purpose. So that is
That is amazing. And I kind of, you said in your 20s, everything kind of caught up with you. I went through a similar experience a few years ago. And like you said, people find you when you're in that spiritual awakening. I know for me, it was such a confusing time. Like, who am I? What is going on? You know, I was breaking down all of these belief systems I had about what was normal
And it was hard. So what did that experience look like for you when you were opening up to this stuff and really embracing your intuitive gifts?
Oh man, I was in corporate sales for 16 years. I left corporate America this year actually, but I remember the first time that I learned the word empath and my entire life made sense. All of the growing up, how I dealt with my parents' divorce and family dynamics. And I realized that I had absorbed so much energy and emotion from other people that wasn't mine. And that just kind of led me down a rabbit hole of learning and growing. And I just started having experiences I didn't understand. I felt presences or spirits or whatever label you want to use in my one bedroom apartment when I knew I was there alone, and started having past life flashbacks and feeling emotions that I knew weren't mine. Like there was one time I collapsed on the floor at work crying, just this overwhelming sense of grief and loss. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I remember consciously asking myself, whose is this? Like, this isn't mine. So it was just kind of being bombarded by these super sensory experiences. And I found my first kind of mentor and teacher and just tried to like learn what was happening. And I got, I did the Reiki 1 attunement. I do not practice Reiki. I'm trained in it, but the modality doesn't resonate with me personally. I kind of have my own modality, but it did open up something in me. And really, I just started doing it. I started doing it with friends and family, because it's something I'd been doing my whole life without knowing what it was. So with this newfound knowledge, it just got a lot deeper and a lot more profound. And but I still hid, and I still kept it private. So this is interesting. I was at a festival a couple years ago, and I was still doing the work, but very much in the closet. And it was like a consciousness yoga festival. And I was sitting in a meditation circle with friends. And whenever somebody would walk by, we would just kind of, what we say, give them some juice, just like move a little energy, welcome. And I did. And I turned to someone to my right, a guy, and I casually waved my hand behind his back, and he physically reacted. Like, he shot back and goes, oh my gosh, what was that?
Wow.
And I was so embarrassed. I sat on my hands and was like, nothing, I don't know. And the girl next to him was like, oh no, I felt that too. You are obviously an energy worker. If you're not doing this publicly, take this as a sign. Like, you need to do this. They got up, a girl sat down in front of me, just expecting energy work. So I did it. People sat down in front of me all day long. I looked up, there was a line of people. Some waited an hour. And we're just like, my friend said something, energy, reading, come on, sit down. And it was just validation after validation. People cried in my arms. It was such a healing experience. And I was just like, okay, I have to do this.
That is incredible. Yeah. I like have full body chills right now listening to that. That is amazing. It's like, you cannot hide from your calling, like your gifts, what you're here to, you cannot hide to it. It's going to find you.
Exactly.
And just for people who are listening, who are maybe new to this, what does it mean to be doing energy work, or what does that look like?
That is a great question. It's such a vague concept. The way I explain it is everything is energy. So energy work is simply working with the fundamental basis of our reality. Even our cells, even the subatomic particles in our that make up our physical being aren't actually physical. They're masses of energy in motion. They're just so dense that we perceive it all as physical. So energy work, again, is just working with energy. The way that I explain it is based on frequency. So this is getting into a little bit of a deeper level. All energy is information that moves, and it vibrates at a particular frequency. Lower frequencies could be anger, resentment, things like that, as far as emotions are concerned. Higher frequencies, higher vibrational energy could be joy and peace and love. So when I do energy work, I have the ability to channel and embody very high frequency energy. So when I, with my hands or remotely, channel this energy, it forces this other energy, this denser energy, to vibrate in resonance. So it helps to change the vibrational frequency. So when I do energy work, oftentimes emotions are released or memories will pop up. Things in your body, I mean, you'll have physical changes. So a lot of things can happen.
That was such a good way to do it. I've never heard it described like that. What did you say? You said energy is information. What was that? Information that moves. I love that. That is such a simple way to describe it. I've never heard energy work described like that. And I wish it was just described like that to me like 2 years ago.
So much easier.
Yeah. I mean, it really, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I've had energy work done and I know how transformative it is and how healing it is. And it's truly, truly incredible when you can embrace these things. But I know for me, you know, the idea of energy work and someone healing me without touching me was so weird.
You're like,
but when I experienced it, it was like not even something I can put into words. It's so transformative. So it's amazing that that's the work that you're called to do. I want to talk a little bit about the Akashic Records. So I know that you do a lot of your work in the Akashic Records. Do you want to talk about what that means and what that is?
Absolutely. So you can Google the Akashic Records and get all kinds of information. I'm going to talk specifically about my personal experience in the records and my conceptualization of it, because it's different than the way I've been taught by other people and different than I've read elsewhere. So the most common thing that you hear about the Akashic Records is that it's like the record of your soul. So a lot of people conceptualize this as going into a library and picking out the book of your soul, and you can kind of read it and it's all of your lives and just has all of that information. I think that's a really good tool, like kind of visual tool to use to help people conceptualize if that serves them. For me, it feels very limiting. I experience the Akashic Records as really the Akashic field. So I don't even like saying records, but it's something that people are accustomed to hearing. So the Akashic field is an energy field of a certain vibration. And in order to access it, we have to raise our vibration in order to align with the information that's carried there. So the Akashic field could be described as, I like to think of it as like the brain of infinite intelligence. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does to me.
Yeah. So it's, if we consider that we are energy and everything is energy, so on an energetic level, we are all one vast field of consciousness. The Akashic field is a certain vibration of that that carries all of these quote unquote recordings of your soul, of consciousness. So I could go into my Akashic Records and align with the vibration of my soul. And in doing so, you can get a lot of information that helps guide you and gives you insight into your path and your soul purpose and, you know, your strengths, your weaknesses, what's kind of holding you back or what's standing in your way of really stepping into that. So the way that I do Akashic readings with clients is with questions. So I have people come prepared with questions, open-ended questions that are specific, but not a yes or no. And by asking a question, one, you're setting an intention. And two, you are putting out a particular frequency that will then draw in other information that aligns with that frequency. So it's kind of like, okay, I have this ocean of information. If I'm going into a reading, well, I don't know what information, you know, to give you or to channel for you. So the questions help kind of direct the conversation. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes I don't even read the questions. I'll just kind of channel what comes through, and that'll answer the questions without us even talking about it, because it's again, just aligned with your vibration that is like really strong for you at that moment. Other times, completely different information comes through that might not feel like it's relevant to your questions, but it's what's most relevant for where you are right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And once again, you described that so well. I've also heard the like the bookshelf thing or and I kind of agree. For me, that didn't really make sense. I never loved that analogy. It just can seem to confuse me more. So the way you described it, I like the way you described the energy and the frequency. My question about it is, so you're saying this is kind of, you're like tapping into like your soul, right? All this infinite knowledge that your soul has. Is this related at all to tapping into the guidance that you have from, say, spirit guides or ancestors? Or is this specifically just like record of information from your soul?
That's a fantastic question. So the way that a lot of teachings on the Akashic Records teach that you are connecting to masters, teachers, and loved ones, which are the guardians of the records. Some people say angels, or some people open it with a prayer. Again, there's a lot of different ways to access the Akashic field. I personally have more trouble connecting with those archetypes and with kind of the symbolic energy, because I view all of these as different archetypes, different kind of energy signatures. And for me personally, that almost stands in my way. So I just connect to the Akashic field. Mm-hmm. Although I was taught to kind of, you know, that about the masters, teachers, and loved ones. And I do 100% believe and experience that different souls have different teachers and helpers and guides and, you know, et cetera. And sometimes when I'm channeling information, I feel that it's from their guides. I get a sense of their personality. I'm like, oh man, they're funny. Like the way they're coming through is just entertaining. So like you must have a big personality because they do. So you probably do too. Other times it doesn't feel like it's coming via any particular energy or archetype. It's more just straight information flowing through. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, that totally answers my question. And when you're receiving this information that's coming through, can you look into like past lives? Are you tapping into like future possible experiences, or is it really just based on what's happening now? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, it can be all of it. For my work, sometimes I'll see past lives, sometimes I'll see future possibility, but my soul's work is very specific in helping empower people to do their own inner work and find their own guiding light so they can intentionally create the life from a place of alignment with their soul. So when I do this work, it's probably different than other people. Some people do specific past life readings or specific, you know, future foretelling. If that comes through, I'll share it. But I feel like telling the future is not something I completely believe in. I think we have free will and we create our own reality. Are there strong probabilities? Absolutely. Do I see those sometimes? Absolutely. But my personal work is more related to the present and what you can address and heal within yourself now so you can take the reins and intentionally create your life rather than living on these subconscious programs.
Yes, I love that. That's such an amazing perspective. It's really empowering, you know, because I think some people a few years ago, have this view of any kind of reading as kind of taking away your power because it's telling you this is what's happening and then you feel like you don't have control, versus empowering you to take the control and do the healing and actually really manifest whatever you want in your life, right? So I like the way you explain that. It's very empowering.
Yeah, and I don't want to take away from other types of readings because I think everyone has their specific thing for a reason. I every now and then will get a reading if I feel called to do so, but I take that as a reflection of what my current point of attraction is.
Yes.
Again, for me, is bringing it back to the present and what I can do today. So if I have a reading, which doesn't happen often, but every now and then, if I have a reading and they kind of show me what they see on the horizon, I take that to mean, okay, if I stay in this point of attraction, that's a probability that could happen. If I want to shift that, well, I need to look within and see what needs to change.
Exactly. Exactly. And can anyone go into the records, or is this something that you need to be like born with the ability to read the records?
I personally view that question the same as like, is everyone intuitive? I think everyone has an inherent ability to adjust their vibration to align with whatever it is they want to align with. Just like some people, everyone could play basketball. Not everyone's going to be a professional. Some people just have the height and the build and the whatever, as far as intuitive nature is concerned. Some souls have just been doing this for a really long time and have it within their field and even in their DNA, that it's almost the awakening process is a process of remembering rather than learning new skills. So short answer, yes, I think anyone can do it. Long answer, I think based on your soul's history and your soul's intention for this incarnation will somewhat dictate the extent to which you're able to access it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And I know you said your soul's intention for this incarnation. So do you want to expand on what that means a little bit? What does it mean for your soul to have an intention?
Totally. My perspective, my experience is that we choose this life. We choose a lot of the major players in this life with an intention for our soul's growth, whether it's to learn lessons. Some people view that as like clearing karma, which is really just cause and effect. But we come here for a purpose, and I know that my purpose is to help lead the expansion of consciousness. And that's all light workers. That's not just me and not some fancy person, you know, like there's a ton of us. And anyone doing this type of intuitive work is here for that reason. Now we have, you know, more specific intentions, you know, both personally and, you know, for the collective, but a lot of the people that we find ourselves in quote unquote conflict with are some of our biggest teachers. And they're people that we agreed to come here with to help play these particular roles to learn certain lessons and to grow. So from this broader perspective, we can begin to see life as this fun game. We get to, it's like Earth School. We can come here and play in Earth School and learn all these lessons and do these things. And then, you know, do it again if we so choose.
Yeah, I always say like we're just souls on vacation in a human body on Earth for this really short period of time, right? So it just doesn't make sense to me for anyone to just be leading this miserable existence or doing things because they think they have to. You know, it is all a game. We're like, we're here to enjoy it. We're here for a short time. And that about, you know, the people who trigger you. And, you know, I think I truly believe that everything that triggers us is just an opportunity to like heal, to evolve our soul, like you said, to look within and to move forward and learn those lessons that maybe we incarnated here to learn. My other question on that is, if people are listening and they want to know, well, if my soul chose a purpose before I got here, why don't I know what it is? And how can I figure out what it is? Is that something that going into the records can help bring clarity around?
Absolutely. So that's probably the most common question that people come with is, what's my soul's purpose? And spoiler alert, most people don't get the answer that they want, but they get the answer that they need. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not here to tell you what your purpose is. I'm here to help you get to a place where you can remember. Because it's, again, these subconscious programs and these limiting beliefs and all of these things that kind of create a box around us that when we go through our awakening, we kind of like kick and scream out of this box. And it's terrifying, but that's the process. It's really this process of eliminating what's not truly you to then remember what your essence is. Mm-hmm. And from that space, there's just a knowing, because you're no longer bombarded or plagued, or there's no longer all of these
facades.
Thank you. Facades and masks and projections. So it's, again, I view it as more of a remembering. So what typically comes through in a reading or in a healing session is one or two or whatever pieces, whichever masks, whichever energy, whatever healing needs to be done in order to help you get to that place to be in alignment to remember.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's not something you can just like find, right? Because you already know it. You just got to clear out all the shit that's blocking it. And then it's exactly. Yeah. So it's not something you need to find because you already have it and you know it. You just need to clear away everything that's blocking you from remembering.
Yeah. And a lot of the work that I do with people, especially with soul coaching, is learning to know the different voices in your head, which is learning about the different dimensions of yourself. Because the soul whispers. The more you listen to it, the louder it will get, and then it will scream. And that's great, but that's your guidance system. So if you're constantly listening to fear and projections and limiting beliefs and all of this, it's hard to hear the whisper of your soul. But again, as we shed those things, you can hear that voice. And it's guiding you along the path of your purpose. You don't have to question, you just trust. You don't have to know what the destination is. You just trust that it's telling you step left, step right, step left, step right. And that is your path.
Yeah. Surrender the outcome.
There you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, how can, for someone listening who wants to get more in tune with the whisper of their soul, how do they know, you know, which voice is that whisper? I get this question all the time. Yeah. You know, how do I know what's coming from my intuition? What's coming from my ego? What's coming from fear? You know, how can you, when you're at the beginning stages of this process, like, you know, from your perspective, what is the best way to begin to really tune into your own intuition and your own guidance?
Yeah, that's probably one of the most common questions I get too. Mm-hmm. With clients, I help them tune into their body. We're, as a society, very disconnected from the wisdom of our physical bodies. So actually, I had an email from one of my coaching clients, I think last week. They're like, I keep feeling like I should do this, but then a voice comes in and says this, how do I know which is which? And my response was, get out a journal, write one of them on the left, write one of them on the right, and describe how your body feels. Like tune into that idea. How does your body feel? What emotions come up? What voice is that? If it's coming from, if it feels fearful, it might be your ego. But it might be your ego saying, don't do this because it's out of our comfort zone, so we need to be safe. So that can give you a lot of valuable information that could be the route to take, because the ego is the one trying to hold you back when your soul's like, wait, no, you know, like be quiet.
Yeah.
So again, just teaching people to sit in stillness, observe your breath, observe your body, observe the physical sensations that come up with each thought. And this is a process. You're not just going to overnight be like, ah, mastered it. I'm one.
Right. If only.
It just doesn't work that way. But journaling is really helpful for me. So I recommend that a lot. Meditation. I know everyone's so sick of hearing meditate, but like meditate and just witness your mind. So you can begin to see, like, is this just a thought that I've been running through my mind since age 6? Okay, well, that may or may not be relevant right now. You know, does this feel super exciting and fun, but then fear kicks in? Well, that might be, you know, the direction to go. So I think just sitting with it and practicing awareness and practicing watching your mind will eventually lead you to get to know these different aspects of yourself, get to know what these different voices are, and it makes it a lot easier to decipher.
Yeah, that was really, really, really valuable advice. And I love that you brought up the fear thing, because that was something that, you know, when I realized that fear isn't something to move away from, that's when my life really like started to change. It was a turning point. You know, when you realize that all fear is this safety precaution by your ego, you know, and it's actually sabotaging you. And then you move into it and you realize, oh my gosh, everything I wanted was just on the other side of fear. And, you know, that all, it's that process of exactly what you said, tuning into yourself and realizing which voice has been taking control of your life for your entire life.
And I've done that too. Where I am now is if I feel fear, I'm like, all right, here we go. That's the direction.
You know, right.
I'm like, this is terrifying, you know, but like, I gotta go. Cause we, after doing the work for a certain amount of time, like you said, you realize that everything we want is on the other side of fear. So there we go. That's the answer.
Right. Fear is nothing to be afraid of.
And like, yeah, it does have value. Like, it is designed to keep us safe. And there are certain times when it is very wise to listen to that voice saying, do not jump off that bridge, you know? Mm-hmm. But again, tuning in will help us decipher if it's coming from a place of fear that is relevant or that's no longer relevant.
Right, exactly. Which is huge and easier said than done. But like you said, it's a process and tuning into your body. And that was really, really valuable advice. I like that, the journaling you said, that was really valuable. Thanks for sharing that. My other question, I'm curious, how has going into the records, or I guess as you call it, the Akashic field, changed or affected your own life? Like, do you go into your own records, and how is that, you know, inspired your own life path?
That has been probably one of the biggest tools for me, because before I was going into the records before I was conceptually aware that that's what I was doing. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't using it really as a tool for myself, but anytime I was with clients or I get downloads, it's because of, I was in that field just because I had raised my vibration, but I didn't have the conceptualization of it. Now that I'm intentionally doing it, and have been, it was something that almost gave me permission to give myself the medicine that I offer to my clients. Mm. I channel information for them. I hold space for their healing. I help them kind of navigate their own inner landscape and shine a light on the darkness and kind of hold their hand through it. And while I do that for myself, I wouldn't be able to do it for others if I didn't do it for myself. Going into the Akashic field with intention has made a huge impact on my business, on my personal, you know, healing, because again, I go in with questions. So I have a specific journal dedicated to going into the Akashic field, and I will journal it and I'll ask a question, and I channel and I write a lot. So typically when I'm speaking is when information just comes through. That's just the easiest way for me to deliver it. So I write and it just flows. So I ask questions about my business and, you know, healing. It's just a really powerful tool to get clear with yourself. So yeah, it's, I do use it for myself. And it's powerful.
Yeah, I can imagine. And do you recommend that, you know, do you think going into the records is helpful for most people, or is it more helpful when you have like burning questions or something you need help with in your life? Or is it more of something you can just enter and receive guidance?
Both. Yeah, you can do both. Sometimes I'll just go in and then sit in meditation. And if, you know, if I'm holding a particular frequency and that aligns with a particular frequency in the field and information comes in and I get a download, awesome. And that happens regularly. So yeah, I think it's, again, it's raising your vibration.
Mm-hmm. And so, what does that mean to, how do you raise your vibration?
Good question. Meditation.
Mm.
Again, the answer that everyone like loves.
It's the answer to everything.
Yeah. Meditation, and grounding, which is counterintuitive. And I go into that with a lot of my clients as well, because most of my clients are intuitives and they're waking up and they need help. They're where I was, you know, in my early 20s. So a lot of us, as we begin to open up intuitively, like our third eye and our crown, we can get really off balanced if we're not grounding. It's almost like a balloon without a thread. It can just kind of float away, or a tree without roots, it'll just fall over. So kind of in this awakening is when our vibration is starting to raise more, because some of the veils are lifting. To use pop spirituality terminology. But a way to intentionally raise your vibration is first ground. Get into your breath, get into your body, connect to the earth. And from that place of being rooted and secure and physically here, we can then begin to raise, watch our thoughts, let them pass rather than be consumed by them. And through that process, it's just one of separation, experiencing yourself as the witness as the consciousness that can see these experiences and see these thoughts. And that separation facilitates a vibrational change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And I really love that you said grounding, because I know meditation is something that people is thrown around all the time, but that grounding piece of it, I think, is really, really, really important. Yeah. So yeah, once again, so much valuable information. This is amazing. But should we go into the records?
Yeah, let's do it. So I'll just explain my process of going in with somebody else. So I'll have you close your eyes and I'll guide okay. you into your heart space. There'll be a moment of silence. I'll ask for you to say your legal name out loud for permission. Mm-hmm. And then another moment of silence. I'll tell you when it's open and then we can take it from there.
Perfect. Let's do it.
Okay. So go ahead and close your eyes. Take a deep breath in. And out. And as you breathe into your heart space, which is at the center of your chest, at the base of your sternum, right before the ribs begin to split. Move up just a hair. Perfect. State your name.
Kristen Jenna Anderson.
Okay, the records are now open. Before you ask your question, I just want to look at your energy flow for a second. Okay, I'm being drawn to your throat and I see like a filter.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost like if water were to be flowing out, it's like this huge flood of water, but then it hits this filter and it just kind of like drip, 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 which obviously would relate to your expression and speaking your truth. So it feels like there's some kind of resistance that has the opportunity to be addressed and healed that is still somewhat holding you back from your fullest expression. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, it does. Something I was literally thinking about a couple days ago that resonates a lot.
Okay. Is there anything in particular that comes to mind?
Recently it's been me wanting to take my business and my platform and everything I do in an even deeper spiritual direction. And then just the thoughts in my head of, do people want that? Like, are people going to still stick around and want that, like, extremely, you know, what I used to consider woo-woo stuff? And I know the answer is yes. And I need to step into my truth and just take it where I want to take it. But that's what I've been internally battling with.
Perfect. One sec. When I break eye contact, it's just because I'm seeing a lot. So just bear with me. I'm seeing like a metaphor for an actual battle, and it's a facet of you that it looks like past, like I'm getting both childhood and past life. So past life that is manifesting here that also showed up in childhood, that is still something that you're holding onto that is related to a fear of speaking up. It's almost like in the past, it looks like as a child in this life, I get a feeling of belittlement, like belittled.
Mm-hmm.
In the past life, oh, same thing. Interesting. So, sorry, we're going in a couple different directions. Okay, let's go to the past life first. I'm seeing royalty, almost like you were a princess and your potential power was oppressed by, it looks like a king. So again, it's this masculine, patriarchal suppression of the feminine, which as we know has been going on for far too long. Mm-hmm. And it is shifting slowly but surely. But it's like you were truly at risk. Like it was not safe for you to be fully expressed, to fully.
Interesting.
This is so interesting the way it's coming through, because I'm seeing you like actually shrinking. And it's like you try to make a stand, but the threat is so strong, like the danger is so strong that you literally like shrink away to where you're almost like this. It's like a prisoner in your own truth, like blocked from your own truth. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, that makes total sense.
Okay. Fast forward to this life. I'm seeing like age, I'm getting like 5 or 6-ish. And this same fear of, but I'm feeling belittlement. I'm not feeling actual risk or danger in whatever it is that's coming up at around age 5 or 6. And it may be a specific event. It may be just kind of that time in your life. But again, there's this feeling of belittlement and this fear of stepping up or saying something, or it almost feels related. I'm getting like father and school.
I don't know about father, but school, I mean, I was terrified of speaking to anyone. Yeah. I, even if I was called on, I would turn bright red. I was terrified of being called on. I wouldn't make eye contact with the teacher. Yeah. Just like, it was like traumatic almost.
Totally. And that's what's playing out in this fear right now, in this blockage in your throat. So again, it's an energy that you've carried for, you know, since whenever this other incarnation was. It showed up in childhood. It's something you're still carrying. Now it's showing up in your business. So the way that you can heal that, at least in this life, is to go back to that time in class. Like go back and give her, the baby you, what she needed at that time. You can tell her you are safe, you are smart, you can express yourself. I want to know what you have to say. What you have to say is important and valuable, and it makes a difference in the world, and you have a unique voice, and your unique voice is a gift that everyone in the world deserves to hear and that you deserve to express. So please tell me what you have to say. Share with me what you think. Share your thoughts and emotions. It is a gift and it's a value. And the more you can do that and engage with your inner child, you're truly healing. You can kind of reparent your child, you, and change the course. You can rewrite the story. Does that make sense?
No, that makes so much sense. Like full body chills. Oh yeah. That resonates so much. And that makes, yes. Amazing. I'm going to do that.
So typically like in a session, I would actually guide you there and like go through that with you. I don't know that we have time for that today, but take that. And I highly recommend that you do that exercise and you can just go into your heart space. Like we did when we opened the session. Are you visual?
Yes.
Close your eyes and visualize it, but like feel and breathe into your heart space, invite in your inner child and just engage with her. How does she show up? What is her demeanor? Is she scared? Is she nervous? Is she shy? You know, just witness that and then engage with her and kind of give her what she needs. And energy medicine that I prescribe to pretty much every client, and I will for you too right now, is to check in with your inner child daily. At this age of your inner child, especially when stuff about your business comes up and like this fear, stop, meditate, drop into your heart space, call her in and see how she's showing up, because it's her wound that's playing out in your present reality. Yeah. So as it's triggered, as it comes up, you can continue that healing process and it has the potential to shift everything.
Yeah. That is so powerful.
Oh, good. Does that relate to any of your questions?
Actually, no. I was going to ask a little about business, but not specifically that. But that was just something I didn't even realize I needed to know. You know? No, that was amazing. Thank you so much. I'm really glad that that came through.
You're welcome. Me too. That part feels complete. Do you want to ask one of your questions?
Sure. The question I was going to ask was in the sphere of romance and more like, I don't know if you can ask time related questions, but I am like currently calling in or trying to call in or manifest a soulmate. So just wondering if like now is the right time or what that looks like for me.
I'm immediately brought back to your throat.
Oh my gosh. So it's related and I didn't even know it.
Because if you are not fully expressed, you're not going to attract what you would ultimately want that would be in alignment when you are fully expressed. Mm-hmm. So you could, you know, align with somebody now. And that's not to say that you couldn't align with somebody now and continue healing that and it be in alignment into the future. You could meet him tomorrow. I'm not. Okay. I don't usually do timeline because I just don't, again, free will. But there's something related to 6 months. Whether that is in relation to the healing that we're talking about with this full expression, which could be business related. It could also be, you know, romance related. But I'm getting like a, things will be different in 6 months.
Okay. That's interesting. That's actually not the first time I've heard that.
Really?
Yeah. 6 months, because what is it, August? That's around February. I've heard like January ish. So like that same time period. Yeah.
I mean, I definitely see the energy of like the two souls coming together and it's, it looks like a strong pull. It's like they come together and create like a, this vortex and it's the way I'm seeing it is like two energies. They come together creating like this swirling vortex, almost like, you know, like the soft serve ice cream when it's chocolate.
Yeah.
Like that's how I'm seeing it. Like coming together, but then like shooting up, so like an upside down.
Yeah. I love that.
But it's a strong coming together. And okay, there's a strong coming together and be aware of maintaining your center. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And staying in alignment with you and honoring your own boundaries to help ensure that you don't just get caught up in a swirl, you know, this swirl of energy that's so potent and yummy and we just want to like dive in and love it. And you can still dive in and love it, but there's just an encouragement for you to maintain your alignment, maintain your personal practices, maintain your sacred space and bring that into the relationship. So this, okay, so like this 6 month time could be practice of these boundaries with your business, with relationships, with, does that resonate? Have you been practicing?
Yeah, that's funny. Boundaries is like the number one thing I've been focused on in the past like month and still I'm focusing on it is setting boundaries around my energy and my time, everything, boundaries and, in every aspect.
Yes, and speaking your truth relates to that because it's speaking your boundaries, honoring your boundaries, holding that space. And even like if somebody, your best friend, for example, calls you and I don't know, wants a chat about, oh my gosh, this just happened. You having the awareness to say, I love you. I don't have space for this right now. I would love to show up for you when I do have the bandwidth. Can I call you whenever that is? Even boundaries to that extent, I'm seeing like practice, 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 use your voice, honor your space and what you need.
Yeah. That resonates so deeply. That resonates so much. Yeah. That it's funny because you asked and my question was answered. And I guess my question about romance was answered. I just didn't know that that was the answer.
Yeah. there
with
we go.
The throat stuff. Yeah, no, that was so helpful.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there anything else that's coming up, or should we close them off?
It feels pretty complete. I'm just like seeing a review of the energetics of it. Yeah, so to recap, honoring, practicing, and expressing your boundaries will help you kind of clear some of this density or blockage in your throat and help facilitate you to be in full expression. So they directly, the boundaries and the speaking your truth directly tie in. I'm also seeing like creative expression in some way, and that'll help kind of move that energy as well. But I'm seeing it like from your throat and your heart, like coming out of your hands and like some kind of creative project, whether it's
writing.
That's exactly what I see, is writing. Mm. So like allow yourself to do that as a form of creative expression rather than only tied to your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do need to do that.
Does that feel complete? And do it from a space, do it from your heart space, from a space of love. And again, creative expression, it's a gift to yourself and that you can hold within your sacred space.
Yeah.
So again, those two things, the boundaries and creative expression, are tools that you can use today to help you start to move that energy and be more fully expressed.
That was beautiful. Creative energy is a, or creative expression is a gift to yourself.
Yes.
So beautiful and true. Yeah.
These aren't my words. They just come through. Yeah. I'm usually just as surprised to hear what comes out of my mouth as somebody else's. Yeah. I'm like, oh, gold.
That was amazing. Like, I need to listen back to this and take notes, but that, I mean, honestly, that too, the writing, that's something that's been on the back of my mind for a while, is like creative writing. And it's funny, it was just came up like 2 days ago, was I need to get back into creative writing. Cause you're right, I've been doing everything that's focused on my business. All the writing I do is for my business. Yeah. None of it is just creative expression for me. So I needed to hear that.
Oh, good. Yeah. That feels complete.
Perfect. So now what do you do to close the records, or do you just?
Yep. I'll just
process.
You drop back into your heart space. Go ahead and close your eyes. And we will just internally express gratitude for the information that we received. The records are closing. The records are closing. The records are now closed. There we go.
Amazing. Yeah. That was so, see, I would just want listeners to know, because I know if you don't know what's in my head, you don't realize how like on point that was. And but it just like resonated. It's that was amazing. It was like everything that's like in the back of my mind that I haven't consciously been thinking about, but it's been kind of like, you know?
Exactly. Because the vibration of it is very strong, even though you're not consciously aware of it. So it can just kind of align with this information to help bring it into your awareness.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Sometimes you just need that little like nudge to, you know, yeah, that thing in the back of your mind, you need to actually do it.
Right. Bring it to the forefront. That's real.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you. Thank you so much. That was so beautiful and so many chills throughout that entire reading. Yeah. So thank you so, 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 so much. Is there anything else? I know we've covered a lot in this episode. Is there anything else that you want to leave listeners with? Any last advice or tips or anything you feel like you haven't been able to express?
I think the only encouragement is to get to know yourself. It's really easy to want to crave connection and to connect to others and want the relationship and want the friendships and want the this and the that and the family or the kids or whatever it might be. And oftentimes what we're really seeking is this connection to ourselves. And from that space of connection to yourself, everything else can flow in effortlessly. You'll know yourself better. You can get aligned with yourself. You can intentionally create what you want in life. And you can have that connection with other people, but it's coming from a place of connection to self, which is more grounded and will ultimately be more aligned. So the encouragement is to connect to self. It can be very scary. It is a lifelong journey and the most rewarding one I could possibly fathom. And if I can help anyone or serve anyone in any way, I would be more than happy to.
That was so beautiful. Once again, thank you so much for that. And how can people find you if they want to work with you, get a reading with you, or just connect with you?
Yeah. So on Instagram, my name is Zaya. Zaya is my soul's name. Jessica is my given name, but Zaya feels like me. So my business is Zaya Soul. So on Instagram, it's at Zaya Soul, ZAIASOUL. And my website is ZayaSoul.com. It has all kinds of information on services and client testimonials. And you can email me at Zaya@ZayaSoul.com.
Amazing. And I know you are so generously offering a giveaway for listeners of this podcast. She's offering a free 20-minute reading. So do you want to explain how listeners can qualify for the free reading?
Absolutely. So if you follow Zaya Soul on Instagram and then post either on your stories or on your feed, what question you would want to ask in an Akashic reading, and tag Zaya Soul, tag Pursuit of Bliss, and tag both of us, ask your question. And then within a week or so, I will DM the winner of the reading and we'll take it from there.
Yes, you're going to want to do this. This reading was, I've had so many readings, I have to tell you. I have had so many, and this was one of my favorites. And it was only like, what, 10, 15 minutes? it just was so, you guys, you're going to want to do this. Definitely make sure you share your question that you would love to ask and tag both of us. You can be entered. And either way, go connect with her. She's amazing, as you know, if you're at this point in the podcast. So I'll make sure that we link up your website and your Instagram and everything in the show notes so people can find you. And thank you so much for being here and holding this space. That was just really amazing and beautiful. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was my pleasure. I'm excited to stay in connection with you.